Chapter 33.
It was dark by the time they got back, and Akshaya was there, waiting in the hangar. "I didn't take the ship off-world," Hatter said the second he saw his mother. Akshaya cocked an eyebrow, and Jin knew that, for once, she wasn't worried about his flying. Akshaya's gaze settled on Jin, and she looked at her with evaluating eyes. Jin hoped that she measured up. "Why are you back so soon?" Jin asked. Akshaya's shoulders sagged, and she turned around, heading back to their house. Hatter shot Jin a worried look as he hurried to catch up. "Mom?" he asked. She waited until they were all back inside before she spoke. "The Empire's cracking down. More than half the mines I usually ship for are now Imperial run." Jin sucked in her breath. She had suspected as much based on how little work Akshaya had been doing lately, and how close they were to the Tamsi Prime system. But she had let Akshaya's confidence lull her into complacency. "I wasn't able to bring back enough ore," Akshaya continued. Her eyes were red-rimmed and tired. "And there were Imperial officers at the refinery when I came in with what little I had for delivery." Every nerve in Jin was vibrating. She wanted nothing more than to run, right now, straight to a ship, straight to space. But she had Akshaya now, and Hatter. She wasn't going anywhere. Not without them.
"I know some places," Jin said in a small voice. "With your ship and my passes, we could..."
Akshaya was already shaking her head. "Mum, we're not children," Hatter said. "We can fly. We're not going to die like Tanith."
"It's not that," Akshaya said.
"We can't let the Empire run us out of business. I talked with Dasa at the refinery. She's not going to sell the operation. I'll just need to find new trade routes, different mines to work with." Hatter was all nervous energy, stomping around the room. But Jin was perfectly still.
"The Empire doesn't work like that," she said.
Hatter kept pacing, but Akshaya's attention shifted to Jin.
"If the Empire wants the refinery, it will have it," Jin continued. "Not selling is not an option."
"The Empire's not the best," Akshaya admitted. "But they have to follow their own laws."
"No, they don't," Jin said. But Akshaya ignored her.
"I'm going to the diner," Hatter announced, turning on his heel. Akshaya looked surprised, but let her son leave the house.
"They don't," Jin told Akshaya again, forcing her attention back to her. "The Empire. You're right. You were right all along. The Empire is the giant. And they're about to stomp on our anthill. The best thing we can do is leave."
Akshaya walked over, reaching for Jin. She framed her face in her hands, her long, cool fingers slipping into Jin's hair.
"This is our home," she said, as if that was reason enough.
She pulled Jin closer, kissing her forehead, and then she, too, left the room. Jin touched her face where Akshaya's hand had been. She had not missed the subtle emphasis on the word "our." And it broke her heart. Hatter didn't come back in the next hour, or the hour after that. Jin wandered into the night to find him. School was silent, the stars stretching out forever and forever over the blue-green grass wafting in the wind. The bells lining the street jingled, and the only other sounds in the dark came from the diner. When Jin pushed the door open, the warmth, light, and noise spilled out into the peaceful street. It took her a moment to locate Hatter. He sat at a table in the corner, talking with a Twi'lek whose back was turned to her. Jin sat down in the empty chair at the table. "Zosad," she said, nodding to the Twi'lek, not letting on how surprised she was to see him again.
"Ah, the infamous Jin."
Hatter looked from Zosad to Jin, a little startled, but he hid it well.
"Infamous," Jin laughed. "I don't think so."
"Never thought I'd see you away from Saw's side."
Zosad's voice was friendly,
But Jin knew that he was fishing for information. Saw was still out there, still doing missions, and she wasn't. He wanted to know why. She wasn't going to tell him. "So, you're the one encouraging people to fight the Empire?" It wasn't a question. "Clearly you've met," Hatter said somewhat nervously. "Which group are you working for?" Jin kept her voice cool, distant. A part of her wanted him to say that he worked for Saw. Another part of her feared that answer.
"The one Idrissa joined," Zosad said. "It's growing. A true alliance of fighters."
"Do you want some time alone?" Hatter asked. He moved to get up, but Jin dropped a hand to his knee. He stayed sitting.
"Why?"
Jin struggled to maintain her even tone. What she really wanted to know was if Saw had joined this alliance too. If all her old contacts had. Had Saw found a new family under their banner? Zosad leaned back, choosing his words carefully.
"I joined the rebellion," he said, "because I have seen the fulcrum upon which the fate of the galaxy is balanced. And the Empire weighed heavily on one side, and only the rebels really stood against it. I figured I could help restore that balance."
He searched Jin's eyes.
"I have seen the fulcrum,"
he said again, stressing the last word, as if it had some deeper meaning.
He waited, his lips barely parted, anticipation clearly painted on his face.
Jin could tell that Zosad expected, or at least hoped, for some sort of specific response from her. But she had no idea what he wanted to hear.
"Did Saw join as well?"
she asked, not bothering to hide what she really wanted to know. Zosad's shoulders sagged. He was disappointed by her answer.
"He did some work with us, but he's still fighting his old battles his way."
He narrowed his gaze.
"But you're no longer fighting Saw's battles with him," he said. "The rebellion is growing. There's good, solid leadership there, and people eager to join."
His eyes flicked to Hatter.
"I can't," Hatter said slowly.
Jin looked around. The diner was loud, but it felt wrong.
"You're not very good at being subtle," Jin said.
Too many people were watching them, but pretending not to. She stood.
"Come on,"
she told Hatter.
"He's not your lapdog, trotting after you because you whistle,"
Zosad said, his voice low. He clearly had thought he'd made some headway with Hatter, then hoped to recruit Jin as well. To watch them both dismiss him was a blow to his pride.
"Actually," Hatter said cheerfully, "I'm quite happy to follow her."
Jin smirked at Zosad.
"Such a shame,"
the Twi'lek called loudly as they reached the door. Jin froze.
"All that training. You could kill any man in here, and yet you just let yourself waste away in this provincial little..."
Jin didn't let him finish. She whirled on Zosad, one hand gripping his leku, pulling down enough that he had to crane his neck, her thumbnail digging into the soft flesh. He flinched, but otherwise didn't let anyone know she was hurting him.
"You talk too much," she growled. "You always did. The Empire is watching this provincial little planet, you empty-headed moof milker. And if you think they don't know exactly who you are and who you're reporting to, you're an even bigger fool than I thought."
She stood up, then flicked his leku, pushing it off his shoulder. Zosad glowered at her, but didn't respond to her show of disrespect. Jin stormed out of the diner, Hatter following at her heels.
"You always have such interesting friends," he commented as she stomped down the sidewalk. "It must be your pleasant personality, the way you're constantly reaching out to new people with a smile and a laugh."
Jin couldn't help chuckling. Under the light of the three full moons, she grabbed him by his lapel, pulled him closer, and kissed him.
"Oh, my delicate sensibilities," Hatter muttered, his lips a breath away from hers as she rested her forehead against his. "You are quite the corrupting woman," Shut up, you, Jin muttered, pulling him in for another kiss, softer this time, gentle enough to let her pretend she wasn't afraid.